President Joe Biden approves military airdrops for humanitarian assistance to Palestinians in Gaza. And Vice President Kamala Harris calls for a ceasefire. Produced by Defense News and Military Times, this is the Early Bird Brief. Each morning, we bring you the defense and national security news of the day.
And given the immense scale of suffering in Gaza, there must be an immediate ceasefire. Yeah!
Also, some are questioning whether a Texas National Guard general violated the military's ban on political activities while in uniform. What does this all mean for defense and security? You'll find out. I'm your host, Simone Perez. Today is Tuesday, March 5th, 2023. First up, U.S. planes dropped food and pallets into Gaza over the weekend. It was the beginning of emergency humanitarian assistance authorized by President Joe Biden. That came after Israeli troops opened fire on Palestinians attempting to get aid from a convoy. The incident left more than 100 dead, with Israel claiming that the majority were killed in the ensuing chaos. Palestinian Health Ministry officials dispute those claims. Three C-130 cargo planes from Air Force's Central dropped 38,000 meals into Gaza on Saturday. The bundles were dropped in southwest Gaza along the Mediterranean coast. The airdrop was coordinated with the Royal Jordanian Air Force. Here's why it matters. Since the war with the militant group Hamas began on October 7th, Israel has largely barred entry of supplies to Gaza. Small amounts of aid have entered through the south from Egypt at the Rafah crossing and Israel's Kerem Shalom crossing. She also called for a, quote, temporary ceasefire. Another important story. Last week, a Texas National Guard general made an appearance at a rally for former President Donald Trump. That has Guard officials investigating whether the general violated the military's rules on political activities while in uniform. For more on this, Capitol Hill Bureau Chief Leo Shane III joins the episode today. So, Leo, what is this controversy that is surrounding a Texas National Guard general that appeared at a rally for former President Donald Trump?
Yeah, this goes back to former President Trump's appearance at the border last week, the same day that President Biden was at the border. And he met with National Guard officials, Texas Military Department officials down there doing border security missions. And that included Major General Thomas Sulzer, who's led the Texas Military Department for the last 2 years. Trump then gave a speech with the Major General right behind him, which, is a violation, or could be a violation, of the Hatch Act, of the rules governing what troops can do in and out of uniform when it comes to political speech. Now, Major General Sulzer is in a little different situation than most folks. He's the Adjutant General of the Texas Military Department. He's in more of a political role. So he's maybe in a little more leeway here than a lot of folks. National Guard officials are looking into this, trying to figure out exactly where this falls. It's a pretty big gray area when it comes to political speech. But it speaks to the larger issue of, should troops be appearing next to political candidates at rallies in uniform, making it seem like the military backs one candidate over another. And it's an issue we've seen come up from time to time, and now it's just coming up again because of this incident.
And how common is this sort of possible infraction, whether from, full-time active duty military leaders or veterans / reservists running for an elected position?
Especially in election years, this comes up all the time. President Trump has run afoul of this a few different times when he was in office for showing videos of him with Marines at the White House or appearing with certain folks on the campaign trail. President Biden has gotten the same kind of criticism. He had a speech up in Philadelphia a few years back where he had Marines stationed behind him while he gave what was considered a pretty political speech. And then during the Democratic Convention in 2020, he also, there was members of the Guard who talked about the pride in the Guard and then talked about their pride in endorsing President Biden, then candidate Biden, to become president. So this is something that comes up. It's a sticky situation, and the military wants to remain apolitical, make sure that they're being seen as not favoring one side or one candidate over another. But, there's a lot of complications, a lot of events in here. So we do just see missteps and potentially problematic things. Usually this is cleared up with a little slap on the wrist and a reminder that everyone should try and maintain that the military does not pick sides and isn't favoring any one candidate in the election.
Also on your radar for today, congressional negotiators released the VA's budget proposal for fiscal year 2024. And, of course, Leo Shane III remains with us to also break that down. So, Leo, thanks for joining us again. It feels like forever since we just spoke. What are the big numbers for the VA, and what does their budget look like?
This is the plan that congressional negotiators have released regarding VA and a handful of other agencies. As you said, we're already 5 months into the fiscal year, so a lot of this money has already been appropriated and spent and taken care of. But this, we hope, is the final verdict on what VA spending will be for this fiscal year. And it's another big increase for VA. We're looking at a $328 billion budget, increases in women health spending and homeless veteran protection spending, mental health spending. You know, the VA budget has increased pretty significantly over the last 25 years or so. It was only about $50 billion back in fiscal 2001. You know, fast forward to this year, we're looking multiple times that amount. It was more than less than half this amount back just 10 years ago. So we've seen some pretty significant growth in the VA budget in recent years, and Congress and the White House have both supported that. Said, you know, we got to do a better job of taking care of our veterans.
But there is a somewhat controversial provision in the legislation about veterans and firearms. What are the details of that debate?
This debate has been going on for a few years here. Republicans have been saying that when veterans need financial help, or when they become declared as someone who can't take care of their own finances, they also have their names submitted to the FBI's National Instant Criminal Background Check System. And this is what can prevent individuals from owning or purchasing firearms. GOP officials have said, look, this isn't fair. This is a financial issue, not a mental health issue. This should be taken away from here. And unless a judge steps in, they shouldn't have that right taken away. Democrats have said, look, in most cases, this is the situation, and Republicans are overcomplicating this, potentially hamstringing important steps to make sure that folks are being safeguarded. But looks like this amendment will go ahead, that, you know, in order to have veterans reported to that background check system, they're going to need a judge to step in and do it. And there are a few Democrats, including Senator Tester, who chairs the Veterans Affairs Committee, who have come out in favor of this. So it had been a bit of a sticking point in recent months, but now it looks like that's settled, and we'll let the rest of the VA budget go ahead.
And now here's some other stories that we're hearing chirps about. Massachusetts Air National Guard member Jack Teixeira pleaded guilty yesterday in federal court. Teixeira leaked highly classified military documents about the war in Ukraine and other national security matters. In case you missed it, officials said a ship attacked by Yemen's Houthi rebels sank over the weekend in the Red Sea after days of taking on water. It's the first vessel to be fully destroyed by the Iranian-backed group. South Korea and the United States began large annual military exercises yesterday to bolster their readiness against North Korean nuclear threats. And defense officials said General Eric Smith is taking steps to return to full duty as Commandant of the Marine Corps. That's 4 months after being sidelined due to a heart attack. Smith returned to the Pentagon once a few weeks ago and for a few hours at the end of last week. And on this day in history, in 1770, the Boston Massacre occurred, where British soldiers fired upon a group of colonists, killing five and wounding others. That's it for us this morning. To get more top stories and breaking news, go to defensenews.com/EBB to subscribe to the Early Bird Brief newsletter. Please give us a like, rating, and a comment wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on social media at defense_news and at Military Times. The Early Bird Brief is hosted and produced by me, Simone Z. Perez. Today's episode featured stories by the Associated Press and Leo Shane III. Our editor-in-chief is Mike Gruce. Have a great day.